T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Shooting into the wrong basket.
Yes.
Oh, that is that. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't. I. You know what? I was saving that one, guys. I didn't break that one out on the call because I thought about it after. Is that ever? I mean, I'm sure that's happened. I don't know about it at the pro level. Or
I saw JaVale McGee run the wrong go the other way while the rest of the team was going down to the other dibs, but shoot at the wrong basket. I hadn't seen it.
Yeah, and J.R. remember Smith, the same thing.
Oh yeah. Oh, that's right. He lost time and situation issues in game one. Yeah, good call. Yeah, Chris Webber's timeout. That's not even close when you really think about it.
No, that's a guy fully adrenalized in a huge moment, just being aware. I mean, that's just a mistake. This is literally when you hit the ball at any level of baseball, from T-ball all the way through the 70 and over league, the only thing that you have to do as a batter runner, because once you hit the ball, you become a runner, your only job is to get to first base and put your foot, or any body part for that matter, onto the base before the ball gets there. So this to me is, oof. I mean, it's worse than a missed dunk, a wide open missed dunk, because again, you know, accidents happen. This is worse than the old school extra point. Before they move the extra point back, there were only 4 misses in the entire National Football League. This is even more rare than that.
Yeah.
And he
I got one.
Steiny? Yeah. All right, Steiny, before you give it, he could have almost got to second, said, damn, I didn't feel my foot touch first, and could have went back and touched first and then continued on to his trot and would have got credit for it.
I'm pretty sure he could retrace all his steps and it would have counted. Like, even if he would have been between second and third, if he could have gone back, as long as he would have touched second, if he goes back to first, touches first. I mean, I think he could have done that all the way up until the moment before he stepped to home plate. Which would have been incredible if somebody would have stopped him, and then he goes, he had a run all the way from basically 3/4 of the way down the third baseline back to first. I mean, I'm assuming that would have been okay, but I'm not 100% sure.
That actually would be an incredible flex, and I would love to see Tatis Jr. do that. He just hit one of his classic 438-yard bomb skis, pimp it, watch it, flip it, run by, intentionally gallop over first, hit second, hit third, get to home, lock him up, realize, have a moment of clarity, and then go back to third, back to second, touch first, and do it all again. A 90-second double tour de force. I wonder if he'd get thrown
that. That would be incredible.
He would be the guy to do it, too.
Yeah. Willie Mays Hayes for real.
Totally.
Do you think that would get taken as, like, quote-unquote disrespect? Because he could play it up like, you know what, stupid me, I missed first base, sorry, gotta follow the rules.
I didn't know what to do between second and third, and then I got to home and I just panicked.
You can't throw at a guy because he missed first.
Right.
You know what?
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
He could do it one time. One time you can do it. You can't. What if a guy started making a habit out of it? And what if he just started running back and forth and back and forth, misses first?
Yeah. Well, this is, leads to the idea that you and I talked about that we still haven't shared 3 weeks later about what were we saying? Putting a time clock on the home run trot, Steiny, where you got 30 seconds to get it done. So
correct.
From the moment the ball goes over the fence, you're on the clock. You got 30 seconds to do basically whatever you want. As long as your foot hits home plate within 30 seconds, then you're free to, you know, exactly. That's exactly a 30-second bed, by the way. You can trot to first. You can sprint to second and go head first. You can backslide like Michael Jackson to third. And you can do cartwheels all the way to home plate as long as you get it done within 30 seconds.
Yeah, it'd be like a touchdown celebration that would be allowed. So, wow. I mean, to me, the way most players would do it is they'd run at a nice pace through third base. And then once they got to third base and headed toward home, that 90 feet stretch, they can do whatever they want. They can do Billy White Shoes Johnson. They can do the Icky Shuffle. They could do four
Dirty Birds.
They could do
Butch Johnson, exactly. The California Quake.
Just get to home by dusk, and it'll work. Yes, Kyle.
Do you think at any point in an effort to quote unquote speed up the games? I like the 30-second idea. Do you think at some point we see them just eliminate the home run trot altogether the way they eliminated the you have to throw four balls for the intentional walk? Like, ball goes over the fence, maybe jog down, touch first, and head back to the dugout slow pitch style.
Yeah. It.
Or like I want to run my derby.
You know, it's like a home run derby when you play when you were a kid. You know, you just hit a home run and you just go back to the dugout and wait for your next home run opportunity. What'd you get? Three homers a game. What would it save? 3 minutes?
Yeah. And it's such a millennial solution of can we eliminate all movement? Let's just make it where, you know, the pitcher pitches it and the batter hits it. And if it goes past the outfielders, well, that's a double. Well, and if it goes into a certain spot, well, then that'll be a triple. And if you hit it over the fence, it's a home run. We'll just do ghost runners from now on. That's so millennial.
There's no bigger flex than running those bases, knowing, telling everybody, I hit that. You know, Steiny, they ain't getting rid of that. Oh, I would take my time on that, Steiny. Oh, man.
I'm reminded of the old pinball game with that baseball. You know, you had to hit a home run, but it had to go right over the pitching mound.
I want it on the record. I didn't like the idea that I presented. Just wondered if that's the direction baseball's heading. That's all.
Kyle deserves to be on shaky ground.
I love that one.
And it's more Generation Z than it is millennials. It's, you know, I was talking to my kids yesterday, and the older one was reflecting how the younger one hadn't left the state in 4 years. And I said, haven't left the couch in 4 years? I got no laughter, but I thought it was pretty funny. Because these kids today, Goo, you know, they like to be home, you know?
I tried to laugh. Yeah, it was hard. But Nick did it for me.
Jim Marshall? Remember Jim Marshall?
Yeah.
Ran the wrong way.
That's
great. Scored a touchdown for the other team.
There you go.
You know, in a crazy way, I'm more like, it bothers me more what Leon Lett did than what Marshall did. Because Marshall just had, he just made a mistake.
He got
Leon
turned around.
Leon Lett was showing off.
No, he was trying to say he's an idiot.
I'm trying to remember the specific athlete who's done it, but like in track where you see a guy running the 5,000 where it's 12 laps and the guy's in the lead and he stops a lap early thinking that the race is over. And then you hear the bell, ding, da, ding, da, ding, ding. It's like, oh, no. And he's got to try to pick it up and come back. That's the same kind of gaffe.
Now, we've seen Westbrook and LeBron, Steiny. I know this don't – turnovers are galore in the NBA, but when they inbound the ball and they don't dribble, I mean, there's some two clips of Westbrook. I think it was a Coliseum Oracle, and then LeBron, too. That's just like, dude, that's a want-to-get-away for real, too.
Ricky Davis, I want to say, shot at his own basket. Missed it on purpose to grab a rebound to try to get a triple-double.
Yeah.
That was classic Ricky Davis.
I was thinking also of Martin Gramatica post-field goal make celebration where he jumps in the air and tears his ACL. I don't know if
Got that one, man. Yeah.
Didn't somebody headbutt the goalpost after a touchdown and – It was a, somebody ran it into the end zone, headbutted the goalpost.
Quarterback.
No?
Oh, go ahead.
I believe that was Gus Frerotte did that while playing for the Washington football team. Yeah.
Okay. I'm not losing my mind.
Yeah. Yikes.
Shoot, there was one other thing. Oh, man. This is going to bother me now.
What about D Ford lining up off sides in the AFC Championship game? Gets the strip sack on Tom Brady and lined up off sides.
Isn't that an honest mistake, though?
Yeah.
That happens, right?
That, to me, goes under the category of like a Bill Buckner, where the guy made an error. Bill Buckner, Hall of Fame player. Okay, he made an error. Granted, it was in a big spot, and they went on to not win the World Series. But to me, that's just a human error. And the other one I was thinking of, Steiny, was Fred Brown, Georgetown, when they lost to North Carolina, when he threw the ball, I believe, to James Worthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he locked up on that play. That's more like a Chris Webber to me. This missing first base is just a straight-up gaffe. Yeah.
Yes. Actually, now that you reminded me, Derek Harper was playing for the Mavericks one year. They were playing the Lakers in the playoffs.
Oh,
they had the last possession in a tie game, and he's dribbling the ball with 10 seconds to go. You know, they're going for the last shot, and then he's dribbling it at the top of the key, and he's 30 feet from the basket. Now it's 5 seconds, and he's not really going anywhere, and he's still dribbling, and he looks at 2-1, and he kind of throws the ball up in the air. It's like the game was tied. We weren't winning. Game went in overtime. Lakers won. What were you guys sent that tennis thing? And you guys were offended? Was because he served the underhand? What did I miss there?
Just awful. Yesterday we had a little action on the Medvedev over.
We all did.
And all he has to do is win a set. He gagged the second set, and he's in trouble in the third. And he goes to the underhand serve on match point. Did you guys pull the audio? Because I saw the clip. I happened to not see the end of that match, fearing what was going to happen to us. But you go to the underhand serve. I mean, that's like in an NBA game where you're down 2 with 8 seconds to go, and you inbound it to Trae Young in the backcourt, and he shoots a 78-footer.
S-O-F-T.
It's like, what are you doing? At least pretend like you want to win this match.
Yeah, I knew I missed something.
I don't like any of it, to be honest with you.
In other news, we're on the Djokovic-Berrettini over just underway, so I apologize if there's some fist pumps you don't understand.
Okay, well, I'm glad. Good to know. Good to know. And also coming up on the other side, we got cash to give away in the cash contest. You're going to get a chance to win $1,000 on the other side. Also, Steph Curry finished third in the MVP voting, as John Curley would ask, fair or foul? We'll be right back on 95.7 The Game.
You're listening to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right. I got some news for you guys regarding LeBron James. He's making a change. I'll tell you what that is in a minute or two. But I want to give away some money. It's time for the Splash for Cash contest. Here's your chance to win $1,000. Text the code word LATE, L-A-T-E, to 72881. That's late, like Guru is to the party, to 72881. Brought to you by your local Toyota dealers. Toyota, let's go places. This is a multi-state contest. Message and data rates apply. I forgot, that people are going to take that negatively, like I'm saying, late to the party. I forgot, fashionably late is what I meant to say, like a Laker fan or a Dodger fan. You don't walk in, Goo, you don't walk in at the beginning. You walk in when everybody's there so they can watch you come in, kind of like that old Carly Simon song, You're So Vain, huh? Not that
unless
you
it's
are.
A sporting event, I'm there doing warm-ups, Dibs. I'm seeing everything. BP, jump shots, all that.
Yeah, podcast, starts at 2 today, liquidate all assets. Goo saunter in about 2:03, sunglasses on. Those are facts.
Don't tell him.
I believe the term
is
fashionably late, Steiny. Fashionably late.
He puts the fashion in fashionably late. Yeah.
What did I say?
So he's one of those guys. You're just looking for the term itself. It's fashionably late. So there you go.
Do you even watch the games, as Don Nelson would say?
Wow.
I used the term fashionably late, like a Dodgers fan, like a Lakers fan. What do you mean no? Why are you shaking your head?
Because the more you know.
Don't just sit there and shake your head no.
I'm the only one y'all check the tape on, because y'all do it. Y'all turn it around real quick.
He won't check the tape on himself. But that's all right. Yes, Kyle.
Stay tuned.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. They are checking the tape. Hey, LeBron James. LeBron James, that's Spadoni's guy. Changing his number. He's changing his number to six. Back to six. Yeah. And we could probably spend about 25 minutes on this, because Goo is a numbers and uniform madman. What do you think? What do you make of it? What does this mean heading into next year for the Lakers? LeBron James going back to number six.
I love it, and I love it because they flamed out. He got hurt, and now he's going back to a number that he's already worn. And there's only two guys. One guy I know. Rest in peace to the great Kobe Bryant, who had two numbers retired, 8 and 24. I do like this. LeBron is on a revenge tour, and I'm no Laker fan, Shasky. But for the people saying they're in trouble or done, just let the king heal along with AD, and they're going to be a problem.
He's done. He's done. He should change his name to his change his number to 11.5, because he's half the man he used to be.
Put it in the cap. Wow.
Thank you. So he could be the first ever decimaled player. Foul on number 11.5, formerly 23. The number change, if you're really a baller, you keep the same number all the way throughout. And, you know, with apologies to Julio Jones, who went to new team Tennessee and didn't want to keep number 11. That's fine. That's a whole different story. AJ Brown's already rocking 11, so he's going to, you know, not let Brown keep it, but they resolved it. He's not going to take 11. But for LeBron to go to number 6, memo to LeBron James, it doesn't matter what number you wear, you're never going to be in the rafters at Staples Center. So having lost this chip, if he would have won 3 straight chips, he would have been maybe in line to be in the rafters. But you don't go to LA, lose one, win one, and then get knocked out in the first round. It doesn't matter what number you wear.
But you know what this is, Steiny. Don't forget about me. Don't forget about me.
Totally.
We got knocked out not even 5 days later. I'm changing my number during the offs. Come on, Ron.
Well, it's kind of interesting. Apparently, the reason he's going to change is because he's – one of the reasons is he's wearing number 6 in the new Space Jam movie. So then he's going to continue that. It's got something to do with Space Jam. But also,
I'm waiting on that flick. Hurry up. Oh, I am.
Hit the pike.
Klay Thompson's in it. Klay K. Spray Klay.
Huh? Bay Klay.
Is Foghorn Leghorn in it?
Huh?
Is Foghorn Leghorn in it?
I imagine they got a role, I would think. Maybe Kyle and the young guys would know.
Foghorn Leghorn is the Greg Ostertag of the Looney Tunes Network. Just a big guy taking up space.
Do they have one of those? Yeah. Okay. Hold on.
Bugs Bunny would be Michael Jordan.
Somebody said
Elmer Fudd would be
Daffy is Pippin.
Not bad. Daffy is Pippin. Elmer Fudd would be Bill Wennington. I mean, you're gonna win with it. You're gonna win with Elmer. You're gonna win without Elmer.
What about Porky Pig? Who's Porky Pig?
Porky Pig is Charles Oakley. Quietly. Yeah, you gotta have the pig. You gotta have double P's. Porky Pig would be Oakley.
I've got Lola as Ron Harper.
That's not bad.
Lola, that's good.
It's not bad. Happy to be on the team, but still legit on his or her own.
This is awesome, man.
Yeah, it's totally.
I done ran out of characters. Yeah.
Well, I got another kind of one-liner that I saw on the internet, if you want to hear it.
Go ahead.
LeBron changed his number to 6 for the number of finals he's lost. Oh, ba-doom-cha. Oh, Spadoni.
You got Friedeld.
I always key out on Nick. Yeah.
All right. Spadoni says he's got the tape. Serrano's got the discs. Serrano's got the discs. Spadoni's got the tape. Spadoni's got the tape. I forgot. See, now people are going to take that negatively, like I'm saying,
late to the party.
I forgot. Fashionably late is what I meant to say, like a Laker fan or a Dodger fan.
There you have it. Spadoni, your apology would normally come here.
Great job, Spadoni.
That's true. Spadoni?
He's hiding behind the buttons right now.
I'm sorry. This is the first mistake I've ever made on the show. So, no more.
I think what's
no more perfecto.
I mean, yeah, just... That's okay, Spadoni. We still love you. Steph Curry, I love you. Steph Curry finished third in the MVP voting. Did they get it right is the question. Jokic, number one. Embiid, number two. Well, I tell you what, Embiid was number one last night. Holy Toledo. What a performance. But how you feeling about the MVP voting, guys? Shrug. I got a shrug from Dibs.
Yeah.
Guru,
I mean,
I got a scowl.
I could not care less.
Oh, really? Okay.
Well, it's just one of those things where you knew it was going to go to Jokic, and the way they go about trying to create this drama where, you know, we're going to release the winner, just tell us in the opening days of the NBA playoffs. That way, when the player who wins it has his first home game, he gets the trophy. And we move on. And just the fact that you had 100 first place votes that were made, and he got 91 of them. So, I mean, that's kind of what I feel about it, Steiny. It was much ado about nothing. Steph got the second most first place votes with 5. Chris Paul got 2. Giannis got 1. Embiid 1. And old Derrick Rose gets a first place vote, which came from the fans, which is why fans can't be trusted to do anything.
I'll tell you this, if some Martians came down, Steiny and Dibs, and said, hey, how did Steph Curry play this last basketball season? I would say, you know what, Martian? The team didn't qualify for the playoffs, but he finished third. And that's how I felt. On so many levels, I want to say this is not fair, it's wrong, but Steph put on such a show that his team missed the offs, and he finished third. That's badass. That's all I could say. So just imagine this. He doesn't get hurt, woulda, coulda, shoulda, misses those 9 games, and what if they would have made the playoffs, Dibs and Steiny? Are we talking about a MVP?
No, we're not. The voting wouldn't have changed at all. I'm pretty sure the voting was done even before the play-in games, but after the regular season. And, if I would have voted for the MVP – I would have voted on, hey, the Warriors were 39-33, and they're 8, which means I'll probably get in. So, essentially, they're a playoff team. I'm not sure it would have changed had they gotten in. But that's just me.
Wonder.
But I do think, you know, it is kind of a joke. And I go back to 2007, the We Believe season, where Dirk Nowitzki was the MVP. He got eliminated with the Mavericks in the first round by the Warriors. And then they present him with his MVP trophy sometime later in the playoffs. And I can't even remember if he never went there and they did a remote, or if he's like, he went to L.A. and had to watch a Lakers game and get it. But it was kind of
embarrassing.
It was a little embarrassing for him. How would you want, you know? So, look, it's a regular season award. I heard the guys on the afternoon show talking about this yesterday, and I was intrigued, to tell you the truth. Announce the award right after the season. All of them. One day. I get it. They want to spread them out. And then because here's the thing I was thinking. If you think about this for a minute, it's unbelievable. You have a regular season MVP. You have a finals MVP. So what that means essentially is the first round of the playoffs, the conference semifinals, and the conference finals don't matter at all. They don't matter at all. They fall between the MVP and the finals MVP, and it's almost like And this is, I get it. You don't win it all the first three rounds of the playoffs, but the meat and potatoes are in the first three rounds of the playoffs. It's like,
wow.
You got to do something about that. I don't know what it is, whether it's a playoff player of the year or wait, but it's, what are you shaking your head about?
Because you're grasping at straws with some cockamamie idea, and you're saying that these playoffs don't matter. They actually do matter, and it means you get to the NBA Finals, and now you have a chance. You're among only 30 guys, two teams, to have a chance for the Finals MVP. So you don't need to award an MVP in every series, in every round, in every game, in every quarter. The season is worthy of an MVP, and the finals are worthy of an MVP. And everything else, you're playing to win the game. Hello?
Damn. I got to say what, this, Dibs.
See what I'm saying, though, there?
I do, but I categorically disagree with the notion that, oh, the Western Conference quarterfinal MVP, Damian Lillard, congratulations. It's almost like player of the week for me is equally ridiculous. Player of the month, fine. I mean, that's a month. It's not a whole week, Ike. That's a month. And to me, it's the same thing in a sweep. You have a four-game sweep. We don't need an MVP of the Eastern Conference quarterfinals.
It's a big difference, bro.
Steiny, I like what you're cooking, and Dibs, I'm going to just this. I'm the guy that doesn't like to leave my stuff alone. I like it old school. I don't like change. But in this instance, how many times does the MVP for the season come from a team that doesn't qualify for the playoffs? So why would we rob on the biggest stage and clutchness and all that, why would we not just have a playoff MVP? Like, why wouldn't that count? I'm with that now. Just hearing you, Steiny, I'm with that. Why would – I mean, because –
Here's what I like, almost the most outstanding player. I mean, let's face it, and whether Curry deserved the MVP in the finals, that first championship or not, if it would have been a playoff MVP award, he probably gets it, right? He's got to get it for what he did the entire playoffs. All I'm saying is, I mean, these are some of the highest stakes games of the year, and they're just, they fall into no man's land. And I mean, I'm with Dibs. We honor everything under the sun. There's awards for everything you could possibly imagine. But I mean, there's a comeback player of the year, for goodness sakes, during the regular season. Who cares about that? But the way we watch the playoffs right now and the way we talk about players and what we see in Giannis struggling and that Donovan Mitchell does what he does last night. I mean, I don't know. There's got to be a way without maybe making an awards. We're like, this is – maybe it's just, hey, that's what happens in the playoffs. But these games are bigger. The way we discuss them are way different than the way we discuss regular season games. So I think they can do something. I don't know what the answer is. I think the first step would be just give the award when the season's over. Please.
And what did I miss, Dibs? I thought the MVP was the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. I thought it was the last award given out. How the hell do you give, and I love the presentation tonight, Jokic, you get it before a playoff game, but how the hell do you give it and the DPOY is still out there?
Yeah, it's like when you'd get Best Picture in the middle of the Oscars. No, Best Picture is at the end of the Oscars, and you got to wait for it. So only Adam Silver can explain the rationale in how this is getting rolled out. But I agree with you, Goo. And to me, it was always better when the MVP award was given to the MVP on the night of his first home game in front of his home crowd. And he gets to come out, do a quick twirl, bow to all sides, maybe take the mic for 30 seconds. And, hey, thank you, Denver. I appreciate it. And let's go out. Let's go Nuggets. He hands the trophy to the PR guy, and let's play basketball.
That, like, I'm not crazy about doing it before a game, but that's the way to do it if you're going to do it before a game. Game one. Like, what? Like, and here's what I'd say. Why are they doing – it's game twos in Phoenix, right? So Jokic is going to get his award tonight in Phoenix?
Is that right?
Is that right?
No, is that right?
Well, it is right. Yeah.
I think it's right.
I assume that he's getting it tonight. They're in Phoenix tonight. I assume he'll be, or maybe they'll hold off and wait to Denver's first home game.
And yet they've already announced it, so it's all anticlimactic anyway.
Yeah. That's tacky. That's tacky, Adam.
When does DPOY get announced? And is it possible that Draymond can still sway some of the voters here in the 11th hour?
He's on a campaign.
Yeah. You know what? We'll go to that because Draymond is on one right now. Help me with the podcast. This is Taylor Rooks' podcast.
Yes, sir.
That he's on. She was having a podcast with Draymond Green, and she. Do we have her taping? Do we have her talking about who she voted for? Because then I'll just let that play. Or is it just Draymond Green?
Why was I wrong in not including you?
Because you didn't name not one person that can control the game from the defensive side of the floor.
You don't think that Rudy Gobert does that?
I think what he does on the defensive side of the ball is incredible. I think the way he protects the rim is incredible. Defense is more than just protecting the rim. Y'all don't judge defense the same way y'all judge offense. There is no offensive situation where
That's
you don't
true.
Want Steph Curry on the floor. There's no offensive situation where you don't want James Harden on the floor. There's no offensive situation where you don't want LeBron James on the floor. Well, guess what? There's no defensive situation where you don't want me on the floor. Everybody, look, oh man, this guy led the league in steals. That guy led the league in blocks. But is there a situation you can put that guy in and make him uncomfortable? For most guys, yes. You can't put me in a situation on defense and make me uncomfortable.
Oh man, that was Draymond Green, and the question posed was Taylor saying, "Here's who I voted for Defensive Player of the Year in order: Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons, and Bam Adebayo." And she said, "Tell me why I got it wrong," and that's what Draymond's response was. I think it was a clever and smart way to ask that question, and I'll tell you what, Goo, I think you might disagree with me. I'm with Draymond. I see exactly what he's saying. There are times when you can put Rudy Gobert into a disadvantageous defensive position. Ditto with Simmons and Adebayo. It's hard to do that with Draymond. He's kind of right.
But he, at the end of the day, he's dismissing what he doesn't do well or the others do by protecting the rim. And what he said was incredible. But what are you saying it for, Dibs? Are you trying to tell everybody under the sun that what you do and the way you play defense, they all got it wrong? Because, you know, the system is the system. And for some reason or another, since 16, he hasn't won this award. I'm just wondering, Dibs, and I know he was asked. Kyle let me know that on the morning call. He wasn't just screaming from rooftops, but we've heard this before. But his explanation to me is he's selling why he should get it, but almost omitting what the others do in totality, if you get where I'm going, Dibs. And it's kind of one – it's Draymond-sided, you know, to point out what he does, but also you don't protect the rim, Dre, like those others. And I'm just, you know, I don't feel like he's taking that into account.
No, what he's taking into account is his own legacy and his own ability to be considered one of the greatest defenders of all time. And you speak it into existence, then it can become so. And maybe it's not this year. Maybe it's next year he gets it again, or the year after, or just the narrative of Draymond Green as the best defensive player overall in the National Basketball Association. If he is going to beat the drum, if other people aren't going to beat the drum for him, then it's up to him to try to make sure that that narrative continues to be out there, not only for his awards chest or his, you know, his mantle, but also for his legacy. Because when his career is over, if he makes it into the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's going to be because he's a winner, but also because he's one of the greatest defenders of all time. So I think this campaign is more about the long game than it is about this year's award, because the votes are already in.
Steiner, can I just add this to Dibs's point? When you have a campaign, you have to have a committee. You have to have a team. And where I'm going is, and the text line could help me. You guys can help me. Where are the articles being written if he doesn't win it that he should win it? You see what I'm saying? Where are the people backing what he's like? You know what? NBA got it wrong. Green should have been in the top three, and he could still win the award. We don't know, but where's that backup coming from to where his voice isn't the only one saying it?
I don't know. Maybe we'll see some, but I all I'm saying is I completely understand what he's saying. What he's saying is. You know, Rudy Gobert, shot blocking. Rudy Gobert gets a 10. Shot blocking, Draymond Green gets a 5. Okay, what about how to defend the high screen and roll? Well, guess what? Draymond gets a 9 there, and Gobert gets a 4. Okay, so what about when you help defense? Well, obviously Gobert helps, but he only helps around the rim. Draymond can help anywhere. The way he put it was very interesting to me. That you would never dream of taking a great offensive player off the floor in crunch time. But sometimes you have to take a defensive player off in crunch time because as great as they are, you can still put them in a little bit of a hole. I mean, I don't want to be unfair to Gobert because he's probably going to win it, but he's not very good when he gets switched out on Steph Curry, and that's part of the game these days. So yeah. We can talk about more of it on the other side, 888-957-9570. What do you think about what Draymond said in terms of why he feels like he's a better defender than anybody in the league, including Gobert, Simmons, and Adebayo? 888-957-9570. And by the way, I also want to talk about the Philly fans last night with a vintage story about Philly fans. That's what's coming up on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Brian Anderson coming up at 12:18. He was in Philly last night doing the Hawks-Sixers game. I'm getting ready to call him a friend of the program. Dibs, familiar with Brian Anderson.
Why? Yeah.
And we could always use more friends of the program. Excuse me. A little hiccup there.
Much like your Hawks last night with a little hiccup.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? What are you going to do? I mean,
I got a man.
Guru's the series over?
Not at all. It's just getting
who's
started.
Okay.
Hey, I got a man crush though. Bogey, man, that dude can play. He got the size. He can shoot.
You can't.
Why? What were the Kings doing? Vivek Ranadive, what were you doing? That dude can play, man.
Just a Vivek. Brutal. I you know what? I got to tell you, I was thinking the same thing last night watching Bogdanović.
Damn.
Thinking, what are the Kings doing? Of course, they had a deal for Bogdanović to go to Milwaukee, and Bogdanović was like, I don't want to go to Milwaukee. What is going on? And Schlenk swooped in. And
is he a young Gallinari, or is would you take that as a diss? I think that's a compliment.
No.
I mean, right. The Warriors need a guy like that. That's all. I'm going to be quiet.
I think the Warriors could use about 5 guys that the Hawks have. Seriously. Bogdanović, they could use. Gallinari, they could use. Collins, they could use. Hell, they could use Herder as just another body. Andre Hunter's still hurt. By the way, James Harden out for game 3 of the Bucks-Nets series.
He's done, right? Let's call it dibs. He's done.
It says they're optimistic he'll return. Let me see if it says playoffs. No, yeah, it just says Nets are optimistic he'll return at some point.
Right.
But it's vague about whether this series
next year.
Whatever.
Well, I had it at 2 to 4 weeks upon the initial re-injury based on the fact that it was a minute into the game and the thing just gave way right away, and the only way to get that injury better is by rest, complete rest. Not even, let's see if he can go, you know.
Yeah.
So I think if you get into the conference finals, if Brooklyn's able to get to the Connie finals, he's got a chance. Not Connie Francis, Connie finals, Tiny.
Yeah.
Oh, right, right.
I tell you what, you guys with your offs and your Connies, sometimes it's hard to decipher in real time.
Real time.
Now I know. Yeah. Okay. All right.
What is going on here?
I'll tell you what's going on. Dibs is, what it was like the airplane, the movie Airplane, where
one of the greatest films ever made.
Dibley was speaking jive.
Yeah, Barbara Billingsley, who played played Beaver's mom and Leave It to Beaver. Her famous line of "Excuse me, stewardess, I speak jive," and then she comes in and it's classic.
No, that's oh my god. Anyway, I started laughing and I couldn't stop. Yeah. What do you want me to say? Let's go to Joe. Joe's in San Francisco. He's got an idea. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys. So first, real quick point. I'll take the Warriors' big three versus pretty much anyone in the league, but these playoffs have really shown they don't nearly have the depth that these other teams have, and that's what they have to address. But I wanted to bring up something that Steiny said that totally has been bothering me, irritating me forever. It's like, yes, I can't stand the MVP and then the finals award, because someone could be basically not play for 20 games, have 2 to 3 great games, and win the finals MVP, and the NHL has addressed this and fixed this like 50 years ago. It's called the Conn Smythe Award, which is the award for the most valuable player throughout the entire playoffs. So it takes the entire war into scope, not just the final battle. And I think that's a better way of doing it, to have some, who has been the guy that has been most dominant, most important for this entire playoff journey, instead of the small 2 or 3 game sample size.
Yes. Hey, real quick. No. Well, is he gone? So how many – do you know offhand how many times the Conn Smythe Trophy winner came from a non-Stanley Cup champion team?
Hello?
Hello?
You wanted that answer, too. Yeah.
One of the reasons I ask if he's still on is because
the uptick was a walk-off. It was a walk-off.
Yeah, and all you have to do normally is lean on Trent Baalke, and he would tell you, you got to Google it, and you could find out that 5 times it's happened where the Conn Smythe Trophy winner has come from a losing team.
Okay. Why are we hung up on the NBA web and don't apply this to the NFL, the Super Bowl, Major League Baseball? They have an MVP and then they have a World Series MVP. Why are we not? I'm just asking you two. Why doesn't that bother you?
That's a good question. I don't really have an answer. Maybe I thought about it more as it relates to basketball. I think the basketball postseason's probably longer. More games. There's more games in the basketball postseason. I mean, you could end up playing 28 games in a basketball postseason. You're only going to play 3 football games to get to the Super Bowl. But it's point well taken, Guru, for sure. Let's go to Devin. Devin wants to talk about Draymond Green. What's up, Devin?
Hey, gentlemen. Really quick, I just wanted to say, we've in relationships, we've had somebody that either looked good or they were nice, right? And if you put it in this perspective, Rudy Gay's the basketball player that, like, let's say that's the attractive partner, right? But Draymond is the attractive partner, also cooks, is good with kids, is with you on religious beliefs. Like, there's so many. It's the Swiss Army knife, You can have one screwdriver with Rudy Gobert, or you can have a screwdriver, a knife, a box cutter, whatever, with Draymond, right? And then the other thing, I agree with you on the finals MVP and stuff like that. They knock, on one hand, they knock Giannis, saying he's not a real MVP, he can't get his team to the finals. Then on the other hand, they're saying, well, Steph, he can't be a high-seeded playoff team, so he can't be MVP. I just feel like there's double standards. But I appreciate you guys bringing me on.
Yeah, absolutely, Devin. No problem. I actually do think Draymond Green's the best defender in the NBA. I really do.
Over Ben Simmons?
Yes. I just do. And I'll admit, part of it's probably because I watch 82 Warrior games a year as opposed to maybe 20 Jazz games and 20 Sixers games or whatever it is. And I've also got an appreciation for him over the course of his career at just how right. many different ways he defends. Like, I he's a great two-on-one defender. He's a great, you know, get switched out to a guard defender. He knows how to help. He can post up defensively, guard against post-up players. I think he is a hell of a defensive player, dude.
What if I told you he's number two in the league in defensive box plus minus, which is an estimate of the defensive points per 100 possessions that a player contributed above a league average player translated to an average team. So basically, Goo, it's how does your team do when you're on the floor defensively versus what an average team would do with an average player on the floor defensively. He's at 3.3 is his plus minus, defensive box plus minus. There's only one guy ahead of him, and I will give you guys a few guesses to see if you can name who that player would be who is ahead of Draymond Green in defensive box plus minus. I'll give you a clue. This player is not one of the finalists for DPOY. Steiny, who do you think could be ahead of Draymond Green?
I would say Joel Embiid.
That is incorrect. Joel Embiid. I'm looking. Joel Embiid is not in the top. Oh, you know, he's number 24 in defensive box, plus minus. Goo, who do you have?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
It's a great guess. He is number three in. So I'm going to give you that's a thumb up because he nailed one of the top 10. It's only one correct answer. This is a tough trivia question. And, who do you got, Steiny?
Oh, well, can I affirm that the top three were Gobert, Simmons, and Adebayo?
Gobert, Simmons, and Draymond, I believe.
Okay, then I'll guess Adebayo.
Incorrect, but he's number seven. So
I think I got it. Again, from the Valley, Mr. DeAndre Ayton.
Man, DeAndre Ayton. Yeah, I'm afraid I got to scroll down. To see.
Oh, I got it. I got it.
I can't even find DeAndre Ayton at the top. Well, yeah. Go ahead, Steiny.
Anthony Davis.
Boy, that's a great guess. I'm afraid that is incorrect. Before we wear out the buzzer, number 10, defensive box plus minus, Andre Iguodala.
Oh, please.
Number 9, Mason Plumlee. Number 8, Ben Simmons. Number 7 is Bam. 6, Rudy Gobert, 5, Jimmy Butler, 4, Nikolai Jokic, then Giannis, then Draymond. Nerlens Noel is the correct answer. Nerlens Noel of your New York Knicks. So there you have it.
How did you find that?
Basketball Reference, Advanced Stats, DBPM, sort by category, and away we go.
I have a big problem sorting. On that thing, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. I always ask, hey, Kyle, can you plug in some numbers for me?
I just thought it was interesting, Goo, as it relates to the greatest defensive players in the league. They're all in this top 10. We always talk about Draymond, Giannis, Jimmy Butler, Gobert, Bam, Ben Simmons. These are all guys who are in the top 10 in this one metric.
I love it. So, Steiny, basically, I don't want to speak for you, but what you're saying is, because Dre hasn't won the award since 16, if I'm correct, every year since then, the NBA's gotten it wrong, and if he doesn't get it this year, I'm asking you, so they just blatantly got it wrong? Because Ben Simmons, for not Gobert to me, is the – Ben Simmons, remember I posed the question, could Dre guard Steph or Trey, or would you even try it? You could put Ben on Bam. You could Ben is that guy for me. I don't know if you could do that with Dre in space, but I'm asking, I guess, with all that, they just got it wrong, huh, if he doesn't get it. Draymond.
I don't know that, I mean, honestly, I don't know that they got it wrong because people have different preferences. I'm just saying, for my money, I think Draymond Green's the best defensive player in the league. I just do. I get Gobert's impact, but to me, Gobert's the defensive player of the year in the lane. You know, Draymond can guard out on the perimeter if he has to. I'm not saying he's a shutdown defender. You can put him on Trae Young, but those times where he gets matched up with the small guard, he gives you the best chance of anybody in the league to defend that. I mean, I don't think Simmons is bad. I just think after having watched Draymond Dibbs over the course of his career, I just think I don't know that I've seen anybody better. That's just me.
Yeah, he is unbelievable, and I think when we look at the way it's going to all shake down when the announcement comes, it might come down to who gets more second and third place votes, because you've got Gobert, Simmons, and Draymond are in your top three. Well, MVP, Jokic got 91 of the 101 first place votes. There was 100 voters, and then the fan vote counted for vote number 101. I would imagine that Rudy Gobert is not going to get 91 of 101 DPOI ballots. He might get 60. Well, then it comes down to how many people have Gobert second, how many have him third, and where is Simmons and Draymond? So this one might be a lot closer, should be a lot closer than the MVP.
I think you might be right there, Dibs. Wow. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Station. This segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises. Are we going to jump in there, Goo?
Yeah, I was just going to say, and you guys probably know, and the fact that Green's third, so it's not like he's not on the ballot. He could actually pull this off, but do you think what will...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.